Words met. Whatever happened to the dream you had when you said, one day I'm gonna be so high in the sky, I'm gonna be no different from a bird's, cause I'm a pilot. I got so much compassion in my heart, and in this lifetime I'm gonna help as many people as I can, because I'm a nurse. The whole world's gonna know about me, and everybody's gonna hear my name, because I am a star. I'm gonna help build the best houses with the best foundations and the best buildings in the world in this lifetime, because I'm an architect, and that's who I am. See, at the time that your vision took flight, you took pictures of what you wanted to be and you placed them on the wall of your bedroom, because in your mind you were so convinced that you could become that and so much more.
Capital 263.
Hey guys, how are you? My name is Cassie and I'm your host for the Career Pod, your vital career information portal. This is a weekly podcast where we talk about career decisions, the changes, transitions, anything at all that has a link to your career decisions making process, right? So we dare you to dream big, start now and start small. So on this week's episode, you know, since last week I've been having gentlemen, nice, good-looking gentlemen is my guess. I might be pretty lucky one of these days. So today I have Adio. So Adio, I have a rule. You introduce yourself and you give your own profile so that I might miss something. So go ahead.
Okay, hello. My name is Adio Adate T. Denika. And yes, I'm very Zimbabwean.
I was about to ask that. Are you Zimbabwean?
I am program manager for Zim Library. So Zim Library is a literacy organization which is based in Rua, but with a vision to have community libraries all over the country of Zimbabwe.
Okay. So we know that growing up, it was a must, especially in school, we have that library thing. I hated that. No offense, I really hated going to the library because it's all silence and all that. But one thing for sure is that libraries are very important in that they host information, books, anything that you want to read, be it books for your assignment, novels, if you want to be well versed in anything, everything is hosted in a library. So, but then we found out now, should we blame it on technology or people advancing? I don't know. But we see that libraries sort of dying, you know. So we want to find out, like, what exactly is the importance of a library in a community?
Okay, perhaps maybe before I speak about the importance of a library in a community, mm-hmm. maybe let me start by dispelling the myth or the common perception that libraries are great big rooms full of silence, with usually old ladies with huge spectacles or frown at you.
Scary looking at you. Yeah.
Exactly, scary looking. No. That is an ancient and not so accurate view of libraries. Actually, if you were to come to Zim Library, no one at Zim Library, if you come right now at the moment, there is no one above 30 who works at our library. In fact, the average age at Zim Library is actually 23.
Wow.
So it's a very youthful environment, mm-hmm. very youthful, very vibrant. And yes, they are quiet rooms, but they are also rooms where you're allowed to be creative. You're allowed to be noisy, for lack of a better term. Then you said the importance of libraries. Mm-hmm. What we believe at Zim Library is that every piece of information, every ounce of wisdom one can ever want, one can ever need, is contained in books.
Okay.
So for us, books are a marketplace of ideas, a one-stop shop where you can find, like you were saying, are you interested in sport? Are you interested in finance? Do you want to pass an academic qualification? Or do you want just to be a better person? All this information is found in a library. And what we believe is that the moment someone, a child specifically, because our library targets children, mm-hmm. of course, as the Nigerians say, the library is not for one body, it's for all body.
Yes,
we serve everyone, but our main focus on children. So our belief is once a child, no matter the background of that child, gets access to a library, gets access to books, the whole world has been opened before them. They now have access to everything. They can literally sit with giants. So imagine if you want to talk to Bill Gates, you cannot get an opportunity to talk to Bill Gates because you cannot get an appointment with him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read a book written by Bill Gates, if you read a book written by Barack Obama, it's just like you're having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And this is, in a nutshell, what we can say the need or the importance of libraries in a community.
All right. Then there's this other thing that, you know, these days we all about Google, Wikipedia and all that stuff. So how is that affected, like, the number of people that come to libraries? Because now people can just Google anything and to get information from there, so I have no need to come into the library, right? So how does that affect the numbers of people who come to use the library?
There is a quotation which says, Google can tell you a million answers. A librarian can tell you the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
So indeed it's true that people are now Googling from anywhere, from all over. All they need is a phone. And the common misconception would be, since now people can now Google, therefore people no longer need libraries. But that actually is far from the truth. Just a month ago, I carried out a survey on our Facebook platform,
mm-hmm.
where I asked people, what kind of book do you prefer? So I put soft copy, hard copy, and audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And of the respondents, 75% say they prefer hard copy books.
Wow, okay. I guess it's because I would actually prefer a hard book, because with a phone or with a phone soft copy, you'd have to be constantly on your phone scrolling, phoning Kamboloka, then you go back again and you try to find where you were again. It's a hassle. So I guess I understand why they say that.
Exactly. And also, like I was saying about a librarian telling you the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in as much as you can find all the information you need on Google, you also need someone who can point you to the right place to look at. Because what's happening now with technology is people are now overwhelmed by the amount of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a really big challenge for you to be able to find the correct source, because there are some sources which share very dubious information. I think the spread of fake news has also been a result of this technology. So what we do at the library is, not only do we assist you in finding the right place, the right space. For example, let's talk about online content. Mm-hmm. There are platforms like JSTOR where you can be able to find the accurate journals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we also do. So if you come to our library, for instance, we actually have Wi-Fi. There's internet access at our library. So the moment you become member of the library, what we say is, if you can't find what you need in the hard copy books, then the internet is there. So that few. So in as much as technology is there, it's actually not really a bad thing for us, those who operate libraries, because we can as well utilize technology to further our cause or our agenda, as it were.
Yeah, I like how you said libraries give the right answers, because you know, with our show Career Pod, we're there to give career information, anything that's facet information. So in that way, when you say library gives the right answer, if a student, especially someone who is in high school, they haven't decided what they want to do with their career, so they just come to the library and research, and you give them that platform.
Exactly. I actually have a number of young people who come through our libraries whom we have advised as far as careers are concerned, mm-hmm. because our main thrust or our main focus as librarians is we should be well versed with what we are doing. We should be well read. So as a result, when someone comes and says, "I'm doing commercials, but I don't know what to do," it is also our duty as librarians to be able to advise that person on the right kind of programs to. The right kind of career path to take.
Mm-hmm.
So what we also do is there are also books which also help someone in what we call personal development. And I've been known to brag that our library's collection of personal development books is perhaps the best in the country.
Wow.
I actually like to say if
that you're bragging, or that's a fact.
it's a fact actually because okay. what we do is we deal with what Bill Gates reads, mm-hmm. and what all these are the successful people read. So what they read is basically, we just look at what are they reading? What is Warren Buffett reading? What is Bill Gates reading? What did Steve Jobs read?
Mm-hmm.
Then that is what we buy. Because our belief is, if these great people, if these successful people read, what more us? What more you know, and your few bond coins in your pocket? So... therefore, we then have also books, especially personal development books, mm-hmm. which then deal with specific career paths. So if someone say they're interested in technology, they're not too sure what exactly they want to do, if we then give them a book about Steve Jobs' life, that book sort of helps in giving them direction, in sort of helping them understand how Steve Jobs became who he was. And therefore, they also can now also map their career path in line with that.
Okay, so your organization being situated in Rua, right? What else besides being a hub of information do to help young kids in the community to elevate them? Because young kids these days, they seem to need a bit of guidance and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, our library, where we say that we are a library with a difference, we're an innovative organization, is it's not just a place where you go and get books.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a number of projects or programs which go beyond just reading. For example, we have what we call the Children's Reading Club, which is every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Okay.
So this reading club is divided into three sections. There is what we call free reading, then there is game time, then there's group time. Mm-hmm. So during this particular program, we usually have a particular theme. For example, last term we're working on SDGs. So when these kids come during the free reading time, that is where there are books and they're just left to read any book which
they prefer.
But usually these books will have been selected by a librarian which go along with that particular theme.
Okay.
So after then they read, then during the group time, we then discuss, let's say SDG goal number 4, quality education for all. We then read a specific story which deals with that, and then have discussions with these children on how can we promote SDG number 4? What does it mean to us? Then game time, of course, that involves playing with puzzles and other intellectually stimulating games, so as to develop their intellectual muscle, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have book discussions. After they have read the same book, this is for both children and adults. We have a children one as well as an adult one. So after they have both read the similar book, we then sit down and discuss what are the key learnings from this book. What can we draw from it? How can we apply it in our own lives? So we go beyond just coming to get books and going home. We also equip people with the necessary skills which they can be able to take to tackle life, as it were.
Okay. So, like in Zim, I don't know now, but Constitution says we have 16 official languages, right? So, does your library harvest all books of some sort of language, or they're mainly English?
We have Shona books,
mm-hmm.
we have English books, we have French books, we have Chinese books,
okay,
we have Ndebele books. So we are also trying, like I said, that we are trying to be as innovative as possible. We actually have French lessons. We actually have Ndebele lessons, Shona lessons. So then Chinese, not yet, but hopefully very soon. If we
I'll come
if
when there's Chinese.
Please do. Please do. Yes. But yes, they, so usually what we do is one of our staff members is an intern from NAST.
Mm-hmm.
So very Ndebele. So she takes care of the Ndebele classes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very cool. And I think we should also try to, you know, in as much as Ndebele and Shona are the main languages, we find out that there was a time when I was in Binga, went to Binga, and you'd meet someone who doesn't know how to speak Shona at all, and they are supposed to get knowledge, access that knowledge, be emancipated through libraries, wherever they are. But because they can't speak Shona and English, is they're still trying to learn in the school, it's still difficult. There's no books in Tonga and any other language that they may know. So I think you should also take that initiative of trying to look for Tonga writers or convert some books in Tonga. I don't know. It's just a suggestion.
No, thank you very much for the suggestion. Actually, it's one of the areas we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually looking at making available books in indigenous languages. Because what we have seen from our experience in Rua is that a lot of children, a lot of these primary kids can hardly speak Shona. Just Shona.
Just Shona.
Just Shona. So you hear a parent coming and saying, Manongo, Shona yake is very bad. And yeah, and you hear the same name, it's very Shona. You know, it's Muchikawaviri or you know, something like that, which is very Shona, but someone can say, I don't speak Shona.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually trying. But the problem which we have identified, which we are trying to rectify, is
mm-hmm.
there are no quality books in indigenous languages. The ones which are there at the moment are terrible. We actually presented a paper at the Zimbabwe International Book Fair, mm-hmm. which is 2 years ago. We were talking about what we called accessibility by attraction. We were saying that books, the reason why children are not reading, why the reading culture in Zimbabwe is falling apart, is because there are no quality books available for children. The only ones which are there are those which are contextually wrong, so to speak. We have books which speak of children eating apples and riding bikes, going over a curb. We mm-hmm. do not know such things.
Yeah, we don't.
We run in the streets and climb mango
and
trees.
And make cars out of wire.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. we don't have books which speak to that reality. So therefore, children now have issues connecting with those kind of books. So it's one of the issues we're actually trying to address. We're still a long way from that, but hopefully, very soon we can be able to actually be a hub where we sort of produce these children's books in indigenous languages, because indeed those are lacking. You spoke of Tonga.
Mm-hmm.
I speak Tonga,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't seen a Tonga children's book.
Maybe you should be the first one.
Maybe I should be.
Mm-hmm, you should, you know, because one thing that people like, well, should I say Zimbabweans or people in general, that you want to wait for Ningi to do it, whilst if Ningi then does it, then we can did it.
If they did it, then we can
did it. So we're still reluctant in that way, that we still want to wait for that famous writer or someone who's well known to start up a project, then we all follow suit. So I think that's the problem. You should be the first one.
No, we actually are, because Zim Library right now, apart from operating in Rua alone,
mm-hmm.
we're actually launching a program where we want to open up these small community reading clubs, that's what we're calling them, in these other different communities. So end of this month, which is end of April, we'll have a Zim Library branch in Domboshava. And beginning of May, there will be another Zim Library branch in Epworth. And hopefully, in the mid of May, we have another Zim Library branch in Shitungwiza. So The other issue is the way these libraries are run. Like you said, that libraries are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, there's a library in Mabvuku, which is a council-run library. But if you go there, it's typical of what you're describing, the old place, which is, you know, which is scary. So we are trying to then sort of franchise our model as Zim Library so that we can spread all over Zimbabwe. From, as our name says, Zim Library.
Yeah.
Our idea is we want to have a Zim library in every other community so that people don't need to come to Rua
to access
yes, our services. So what our idea is, we have trained 10 people right now whom are going to be the first batch of people to set up community libraries within their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're going to train more and more and more until we have Zim libraries all over Zimbabwe.
Yeah, because that's a great idea, because there are places out there, you know, whilst I was in school, you get to travel places doing those assignments, because we're more practical. So our stories, our articles, you go there to that place, go in Domboshaba, go in Binga, and collect information, then write your story. So you get to experience and see that some people, they don't even know that there's something out there that's called internet or whatever. So they are very much far behind, and because no one wants to really then invest in those places, the places are still going to lag behind. So I applaud you. Initiative, hopefully that by the end of the year, hoping that we all have Zim library everywhere in the corner of every place in Zimbabwe. That's cool. So you, earlier on, you were bragging about how Zim library is being like the best, right? So it being the best, how then where do you get your books? Where do you source everything, every inch of information that's the where do you get it?
We get our books from varied sources. We don't have a single source where we say we get these. One source is we buy some of our books locally, especially the children's books. There's an organization called Bush Bin. Right now I'm actually coming from CPS, where I was ordering a batch of books to use for the project of spreading libraries in different communities, which I was talking about. That's what I was doing this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then some of the other books, the personal development ones, which I was talking about, our founders are very well traveled. So every time they travel, they buy books. So when they get to this airport, they see that this is the book on the best-selling list, they buy them. So every other time they visit home from Switzerland, they always bring with them books. So that is basically what allows us to keep having this edge over other libraries.
So then you basically answered my next question, because I was about to ask that with the fact that libraries are buying, and so you know that people have, let's say 10 people are coming in a month to access information from the library, and probably they just pay a dollar or something. That's not enough to buy a book. So then, but then you then answered it.
Sort of.
Okay. Then you mentioned how, the youngest person is, the average of employees you have is 23. That's really great, because you know, if it's a youthful environment, then you then get to feel safe as a person, as a library user, because, you know, all these, you know, I grew up with seeing all these old ladies and they're pretty scary. So it's a great initiative. And also that, that the youth are involved and they're actually taking steps in making sure that people have access to knowledge. So thumbs up.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, basically, thank you for coming, right? So, one last thing, your take home, one thing you'd want to share before we sign off.
Perhaps one thing is our motto as Zim Library, we mm-hmm. believe that every child can read and every child must read and no child should be left behind. Because if we make sure that every child in this country has access to books, what that means is we have improved that child's chance of having a short, what is called a decent life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you can read, it's a foundation for everything else. Because everything else, be it building, be it agriculture, the foundation is in reading. If you can read as a farmer, you'll be able to know the correct time to plant your crops, the correct time to apply the chemicals. If you're a builder, you know the correct angles and everything else. So every child must read, every child can read, and no child should be left behind.
No child should be left behind indeed. Well, guys, my last take-home point is that he said every child must read. And we might not realize the advantages of it right now, but as you grow older, the more you read, the more vested you are in knowledge. And it then helps you come 5-10 years down the line, you want to decide on the career path you want to take. If you have a mass information or whether that job is marketable in Zimbabwe, you would have gotten that knowledge as you go by, as you read, as you get to see other stuff and read all sorts of these books. So guys, go out there and read, no matter how old you are, because this is our period. Knowledge is power. And just because you're 30 years old or 40 years old or 25 years old doesn't mean that you know everything. You don't know everything. You only know everything once you die and you're on the other side. So guys, that's it for the day. Adjo, thanks so much for coming. I'm surprised, you know, I was going to say something to the audience, but then I didn't stop myself. You know, Adjo is a person who has what we call mavokwaya in his vocabulary. Mavokwaya kuti munhu aita akataura English. Okay, wait, oh my God, I didn't hear a thing. But, well, I guess, should I say you've grown or what?
Yes, I have grown. I've realized that the idea is to communicate.
Well, we do miss that anyways. So, thanks, guys. This is a Career Zimbabwe in partnership with Capital 263, where you're free to say it and free to do it. And remember to like our social pages on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and also our website at www.careerzimbabwe.co.zw. Till we meet next time, guys. Goodbye. And now.
Capital 263.